Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here, youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Be sure to hit the subscribe button, share it with your friends, all that kind of good stuff, because YouTube, they like to take subs away. They like to give subs. YouTube taketh and YouTube receiveth, Larson.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, we're also available at patreon.com/ Steven Larson, where if you want to support the show, you can financially, and in return, you get all sorts of stuff like access to a live stream, postcards, comic books.
T-shirt.
Speaking of t-shirts, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw. We have five quality designs right now.
More to come.
More to come.
But we're here really to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling's major spring show,
yeah.
Sakura Genesis.
Yes. Sakura, we found out, means cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
Which
bloom in the spring.
In the springtime, that's right.
Because exactly. In Washington, D.C., every year, around March, mm-hmm. mid-March, mm-hmm. late March, sorry, early mm-hmm. April, they have a cherry blossom festival.
Oh, wow.
Marks the beginning of spring.
Fascinating. So yeah, springtime, new
yes.
things.
Yes.
Yeah. The main event was Okada versus Shibata.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit.
I know, just sort of as a whole, what was your...
it was a fun show to watch.
We're still learning about New Japan.
Oh, very much
but
so.
But it's a blast to learn, and especially with shows like this, like you said, it was a lot
yeah.
of fun.
Granted, I missed the first three matches because I didn't have time to watch the whole show.
I watched the entire thing.
Good for you.
Yes.
But the 3 hours, 3.5 hours I did watch,
mm-hmm.
lots of fun.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I wasn't sort of flirting in and out of the room. You know, I was fluttering in and about like a cherry blossom perhaps would. I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out this cherry blossom thing, to be honest with you. Where are the notes for this? Oh, here we go. Okay. So anyways, yeah, like your typical New Japan sort of show that isn't like a Wrestle Kingdom show, you had a lot of tag matches and then a couple of high stakes title matches.
But I will say this, all the matches that I watched,
mm-hmm.
were all creatively booked
yeah.
and all very entertaining.
Sometimes they could just be a clusterfuck. I've noticed that. Sometimes they could just be a clusterfuck. These were actually pretty much top to bottom. They're all fun matches.
Yeah.
Kicked off with...
yeah, walk me through these first three matches because I didn't get a chance to see them.
Jushin Thunder Liger, Dave Finley, and Monster Morning Nakanishi.
Yes.
I love the Monster Morning. I'm getting one of them shirts. Versus... a whole slew of young lions, baby.
Yeah.
All just nothing but black tights, black boots. And no names. None of these men had names. Actually, that's not true. One dude's name was Kitamura. Another guy's name was Oka. Another guy's name was Kawato. One of these guys was fucking jacked.
I believe that's Kitamura. He's the latest young lion.
Oh,
debut.
My God. He is massive. He looks like Ryback, dude. He is huge. He's a big dude. It was kind of cool. They let the young lions sort of showcase their nascent talents, you know, their cherry blossoming talents, if you will. There was a couple of fun spots. Two of the young lions had, I think, Finley and Nakanishi, if I'm not mistaken, up in like Torture Racks of Dooms. And then Liger finally got it, stepped in and put an end to that. They were teasing kind of a little mini rivalry between Jushin Liger and I believe Kawato, if I'm not mistaken. You know, as opposed to these being just sort of faceless young lions, they were giving them a little bit of personality for each one.
Give them some storylines.
Maybe, perhaps, perchance. Yeah, I mean, it was a fun match. Obviously, the guys who had names and costumes, they went over.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to have... I don't even know which one got the win, to be honest with you. Probably Liger. Probably over Kawato. I don't know. Again, like I said, I was cherry blossoming in and out of the room at the time. But I did see the young lions walk away with their heads hung in disgust.
Okay. So. After another disappointing loss, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So take us to what happened next, Steve.
Next up, we had Bullet Club. We had the Tokyo Pimp. We had the Gorillas of Destiny. And some guy named Chase Owens.
Yeah, who is Chase Owens?
I have no idea. I first I was like, oh, cool, Hangman Page is with him. Who is that? That's not Hangman Page. That's some other guy named Chase Owens.
I know we did some research and we couldn't find a whole lot of answers.
And yeah, I don't know why he hasn't been on these New Japan shows. I looked at his Twitter again. It looks like he's been fighting like on the indie circuit. He's been doing stuff.
According to Wikipedia, he joined the Bullet Club in October of 2015.
Well before we were watching.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him once on any of these shows. He wasn't in the New Japan Rumble.
No. According to, the last bit of information here about him in New Japan was that he and Kenny Omega teamed together to take part in the 2016 World Tag League. So I think that's towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
So he must have...
Says at the end of the year then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must have been not too long before Wrestle Kingdom, which is when we first really started getting into New Japan.
Yeah.
So I guess we just missed him.
I guess so. I mean, Wrestle Kingdom was only...
It was in January.
Yeah. So, wait, that was 2016?
Yeah, that was just last year.
Yeah, okay, man. Yeah.
So we just missed him. So maybe he was out with injury. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But anyways.
He's part of Bullet Club, and he took on the Bullet Club, took on...
Tiger Mask.
Two Tiger Masks, one of which I'm pretty sure is still Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, I think
I think Tiger Mask W is still Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
Yuji Nagata... And Makabe.
Yeah.
Makabe?
I think it's the latter.
Makabe?
Yeah.
Okay. Bullet Club ended up going over. A lot of cool stuff. I always keep an eye on Tiger Mask W. Whenever it's Kota Ibushi, which I think it has been for at least the last couple shows.
Since Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I think so. He's so much fun to watch.
He's so good.
Let me ask you, is it weird that he's just Tiger Mask W?
You know why? Because he's a freelancer. He's not under full-time New Japan contract.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. Wow. I love Kota Ibushi, man.
He's fantastic. I need to go back and watch that video of him shooting fireworks.
Yes!
Shooting them off his chest.
Why don't we get more of that in New Japan? I want to see some fireworks. It's not just like firecrackers, man. It's like fireworks.
Yeah, I know.
He shoots them at his own chest.
I know.
Point blank.
I know.
Why does he do that? It was crazy. Anyways, lots of good spots in this match. Bullet Club went over. It was kind of funny, too. Because number one, I can't get enough of Tama Tonga.
Oh,
I
he's think so
he's
good.
He's fantastic.
He's so good.
He's great. There was this great bit where he got tagged in, and he was, I think it was Yuji Nagata, or maybe it was Makabe, I forget which one. But they were like sort of coming to because they had just been like hit or something. And Tama Tonga was doing that thing where he just sort of glides. And he like stalks, and he was like keeping pace with the dude's back until he like turned around.
Oh, that's awesome!
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic. I love that. And it was great because at the very end, Bullet Club ended up going over. I forget who got the pin, but Tama Tonga turns to the camera and says, "Why are there two Tiger Masks? We got to fight both these guys." It was good. Oh yeah, and Tonga Loa. No, Tonga Loa was doing his like cursing a lot.
Oh, he was doing that. I missed that.
Yeah, it was great. Then we had Yoshihashi. I love Roppongi Vice.
Yes, they're great.
Do not like Loose Explosion. Still, he's a turd to me. Not huge on Loose Explosion.
Okay, they took on three members of Suzuki Gun.
Mm-hmm,
was Suzuki.
Yeah.
It was Taka.
Yeah.
And El Desperado.
Yes, correct. Okay. I love me some Suzuki, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's fantastic.
He is fantastic.
He is great. There is some really cool stuff going on here. Suzuki Gun ended up losing. I'm pretty sure Yoshihashi picked up the pin, but Suzuki was not happy about that. He ran out, he grabbed a chair, and then he had to be sort of restrained by some young lions. And then on his way up the ramp, he started headbutting young lions over and over again, and then he was about to go down and like whoop some more ass, but he didn't. So that was kind of fun to see because he's just a grizzly, grumpy old man.
I know.
Yeah, it was great. But we got some good, some fun stuff with Roppongi Vice here. Was this when Beretta tossed the?
No, that was
later on the Taichi.
The very next match.
Okay, yeah.
for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles, we had Kanemaru and Taichi, members of Suzuki-gun, against Jado and Gato.
Yeah.
Chaos members.
Chaos members, that's correct, yeah.
Decent match, fun match.
Yeah, it was a fun match.
There was this great spot where Gato was draped over the guardrail, and Kanemaru did like a springboard leg drop off it into the crowd.
Oh, yeah, that was
fun. That was awesome.
That was cool.
Of course, Taichi uses the hammer, the ring hammer, the ring bell hammer.
Yeah. He had it planted on his woman.
Yeah.
It was cute.
Yes.
They make a cute couple.
Yes.
I'd like to see them.
She was involved towards the finish, distracting the referee.
Yes.
Kanemaru hits a top rope DDT for the win.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, Roppongi Vice is around the ringside area for this whole match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to even the odds because El Desperado was out there too.
Right, exactly. So they were participating a little bit. They're like, when there was a ref bump, they jump in and execute some maneuvers.
Double knees on Taichi.
And
And then after the match, the Roppongi Vice gets in there. Seems like they're challenging Kanemaru and Taichi to a match. Yeah. Somehow Beretta gets a hold of the ring bell hammer.
Yeah.
And it looks like he throws that thing into the stands.
He just tosses it.
Yeah.
That's a ring bell hammer.
It's probably heavy.
It's probably heavy.
I hope whoever was sitting in that section was paying attention.
I'm hoping that it just looked like that and it didn't actually happen.
It actually just, like, he chucked it out there.
Yeah.
It looked like it went to the stands, but just fell on the mat outside of the ring.
Sometimes it just feels like Deadwood over there, man. No law in New Japan Wrestling. Yeah.
Next, we had Kenny Omega.
Oh, I love this match.
Bad Luck Fale taking on former tag team champions Ishii and Yano.
The entire first half of this match was like a Three Stooges scene.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was a lot of fun.
Especially the fact that Kenny Omega was such a heavy hand in the comedy routine with Yano. It was fantastic. They were like grabbing each other's hair. It was like a choreographed Three Stooges routine with these guys.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
And then, you know, Yano always tries to loosen up the turnbuckle covers. Well, two of them got off, and then they started fighting with those.
They had like, it was essentially, because those things look so soft. They look like a pillow fight.
I know.
It was great. It was so much fun.
But as you said, the first half of this match was very focused on the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through, it started segueing into a more intense wrestling match. There's this one spot where, and the commentating team, talked about this, where Kenny Omega was going to the corner to tag in Fale. Fale was laying on the mats on the outside after an attack, and Kenny Omega was expressing some frustration about the fact that his partner wasn't there to accept the tag.
Yeah.
So Kenny had to do a lot of the work for the second half of the match. Fale got involved, helped his teammate out, but the whole first half of the match, granted, it played into the comedy. There's a lot of spots where Yano was getting out of the way, so Kenny was hitting Fale and vice versa.
Right, right.
So I don't know if maybe I'm reading too much into this. They're like teasing some tension within the Bullet Club.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell in like a comedy match.
I know.
And then on top of that, like you had this to a much heavier degree with Omega versus Omega.
With Adam Cole,
With Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And I mean, they addressed it on their Silly Little Being the Elite video series.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, we haven't seen Adam Cole back in New Japan since then. So we'll see if they pick that thread back up. I'd love to see Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it'd be fantastic. So anyways, there's a spot where Yano hits his trademark low blow.
Yes.
Ishii hits Kenny with a clothesline.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny kicks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on the second try, Kenny finally hits the one-winged angel on Ishii, picks up the win.
Which he hadn't been able to do in the
New Japan Cup.
New Japan Cup.
First round. And then Kenny starts talking trash, lays a couple kicks into Ishii before making his way backstage.
And it was announced this morning that, or I'm sorry, yesterday morning, because this is going up on Tuesday, that we are going to see Omega versus Ishii at the next show.
Yes, on April 29th, I think.
Yeah, yeah. After that, we had Taguchi. We had the current never open weight trio champions.
Yes, Ricochet, Tanahashi, and Taguchi.
Uh-huh. The Funky Weapon.
Yes.
Teaming up with Juice Robinson versus everybody in LIJ.
Minus Takahashi.
Minus Takahashi, who had a match later on.
It was also a really fun match. In the beginning, Taguchi Japan, which I think they're kind of calling...
Oh, is that what they're calling
them? Taguchi, Tanahashi, and I guess now Ricochet.
Yeah.
Because they were trio champs before. Who was the third member?
Ooh.
Why is that escaping me?
Hold on a second.
It was Taguchi. It was Tanahashi. Oh, it was Nakanishi.
That's okay. Yeah.
There's a spot where Taguchi Japan isolates Bushi, and Taguchi's kind of like giving directions to everybody else and to constantly attacking Bushi. Mm-hmm. Bushi. It was funny.
Yeah.
It was really
funny. Yeah, there's a guy who was like, he was doing the...
Oh yeah.
He was doing like the lockup thing with the wrists, and he would like Bushi would look, and he would just keep on doing this, and I don't know. It was good comedy. It was funny stuff.
It was funny. Yeah. And then the tables were turned, and then LIJ starts isolating Taguchi. Mm-hmm. Everybody's laying into him.
Yeah.
And then Ricochet has a spot where he was literally taking out everybody in LIJ.
Ricochet might be my favorite wrestler on the indie circuit right now. Like not WWE.
He's so good.
I fucking love watching him.
Yes.
He is so fluid.
So fast.
The shit that he does. He is simply a joy
to
watch, man. I can't say enough.
I mean, it's not only that he can do the high-flying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell a good story. Watch that match between him and Leo Rush.
Oh, my God. It was fantastic.
At PWG. Yeah. And they told a great story. Yeah,
exactly.
He's fantastic.
It's something, man. Like there's so much of that great kind of wrestling on the indie circuit. I mean, it's such a time honored tradition of just like heel and a face. But to come in as a guy who has worked both ways, you know, wherever he is, he's going to work one or the other. And to see Ricochet work heel in that match against Leo Rush and the story they told in the span of one match was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was so good.
I can't get enough of Ricochet, dude. He's great.
So, yeah, then Juice.
Naito did a hell of a job putting over Juice Robinson.
He sold the Pulp Friction
like a
amazingly.
Champ. Yeah,
he huge. Looked like he landed straight on his forehead.
It was a fantastic final sequence with Juice trying to hit the Pulp Friction on Naito and Naito trying to hit Destino. And it ended up with Juice getting over, pinning Naito, picking up the mic, and then issuing a challenge for the IC title, which I don't think he's ever going to win. Maybe he will. I don't know, man. I you know what I loved?
What?
When they all came to the ring, Naito flung the belt into the ring.
Yeah.
And Taguchi picked it up.
I know.
Doing it, like, grabbed it.
I know.
But yeah, look, I don't know. Maybe they will. They seem to be really high on Juice.
And the audience seems to really like him.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Maybe. Not huge on that, to be honest with you. He's got a lot of proving to do. He's a good wrestler.
He is good.
He's good.
And he's connecting with the fans.
I guess.
He's not nearly as over as Naito is, though.
No, man, nobody is. Shibata might be.
Yeah, Shibata was really over. We'll get to that later.
Really into Shibata. Let's see here. Then we had the current tag champion, the current heavy, what do they call them? Just the heavyweight champions?
Yeah, walking into this match, yeah. Tenzan and Kojima were the tag champions. They were taking on Ring of Honor's War Machine.
Yeah, I love War Machine, man. A couple of big hosses.
That can move really well.
Kind of a throwback to Road Warriors.
Yeah. But they move. They do, like Hansen especially, he did a Fun Hosses Fun Splash.
Yeah.
He did a top rope moonsault, which he missed. And they did a suicide dive.
Yeah.
And he's the larger of the two War Machine guys. He does some insane stuff.
Yeah, man, I love War Machine. They're great.
War Machine picks up the win after hitting Fallout on Kojima.
Yeah.
Are your new IWGP Heavyweight Tag Champions.
Kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Ring of Honor guys, yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat.
They
proclaimed last time, I forget what the show was.
Oh, that was Honor Rising.
Honor Rising, yeah. They said...
That was their goal.
We're looking for those. Man, they hit that goal.
Yeah. They right after the match, Tenzan said, give us one more shot at
getting it was
those
cool.
belts back. And they said, yeah, they shook hands.
It was all respectable shit going on
between
wrestling bastards. I was a huge fan of this next match,
This
man.
Match was great.
This was fantastic. Zack Sabre Jr., who I am completely 100% behind now, man. God damn it, I totally see it now. Versus Goto for the never openweight title. Zack Sabre Jr., of course, comes in with all three titles, and he's just got
from waist to about his collarbones. Yeah,
he's got that stud look on his face. Oh, it was great. I was really looking forward to this. This match did not disappoint.
No.
All sorts of great, fantastic technical wrestling. He's so creative with his, like, usually I hear technical wrestling, I want to go to sleep. But with Zack Sabre Jr., it's a joy to watch.
Well, here's the thing. With Zack Sabre Jr. specifically, but also generally speaking, New Japan's style of booking matches, they don't use submission holds as rest holds.
Right,
They use them to enhance the drama of the match.
Right.
Whereas, you know, like in a WWE match, if someone's going for a headlock midway through the match, it's because generally you would think someone needs to take a little quick break.
Yeah, you know when these guys take a break? After like a suicide dive or a sunset flip powerbomb. That's when they take a break.
I thought you were going to say when the match was over.
Yeah, when the match, there you go, when the match is over.
So anyways, as expected, this match starts out very technical.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this point where Goto goes for a chest kick.
Mm-hmm.
Saber catches him, transitions into a heel hook. Once Goto breaks that hold, Saber just starts working Goto's left arm for the duration of the match. And this is a great story where you have, and the commentators really play this up, where you have Saber, who they said would be a junior heavyweight traditionally. But since it's an open weight belt, he can fight Goto, who they said weighed in 240, 250 pounds. So we have this battle of a guy who's a brilliant technician in Saber, who more often than not, it seems like he has an answer for Goto's strength advantage. But in the end, he just can't overcome it.
That's been one of the great things about watching, like, the exposure we've had to Zack Sabre Jr. lately, is to see the variety of opponents that he faces. Who did he take on? He took on Chuck Taylor at PWG.
Yeah.
We saw him against Jimmy Havoc.
Yes.
At Progress in Orlando.
Yes.
And then we see him versus Goto. And, my God, like, you can't get three...
more different competitors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you have a whole wide variety there. And to see him apply, to match up their style and apply his own, you know, forcing his style onto them, it's so great to see.
Yeah. So, as I said, Saber was really working Goto's left arm. And Goto was doing a great job of selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Saber was kicking the arm, put him in a Kimura. And every once in a while, Goto would just find a way to overpower Saber in his attempts to get him to tap. For example, the Kimura, Saber had him in it with body scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Goto managed to overpower him and suplexed him. And that happened later on when Saber was trying to put Goto in a triangle.
You're right.
Goto just picked him up and powerbombed him.
Yeah.
And it was in Suzuki got involved in this match.
Yeah.
Bumped the ref.
Because Zack Sabre's part of Suzuki.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put Goto in a sleeper, tried to pile drive him. Goto reversed.
That's my only beef, is that I think Zack Sabre Jr. could look really cool in some Suzuki Gun themed attire.
I know.
It'd be cool.
I know. So in the end, Goto hits two GTRs for the win. And then Goto starts posing in front of Suzuki. Suzuki doesn't like that. Attacks him. So apparently we're going to get Suzuki. I think we are getting Suzuki versus Goto on the next tour.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
For the open weight title. That match apparently wasn't listed on either of the two televised shows, though.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what I was going to check.
Maybe they're just maybe they're waiting to announce that or what. I don't know.
Yeah. Next up, we had a pretty quick match.
Yeah, very quick.
Against the ticking time bomb.
What do you think of that package, the video package they ran before this match?
Oh, I loved it. That was great.
Takahashi is captivating.
He is all just charisma.
Yeah,
dude.
You can't not watch him.
I know, he's fantastic. Because like, it was weird, he looks like different with his hair down.
I
was like, oh shit, that's him, that's fucking rad.
I
like
know.
Man, he's like the coolest looking character. There's a couple guys who just look like the coolest looking characters, like Ricochet is one of them.
Yeah,
he just looks like this really well-designed character. Takahashi is like one of my personal favorites in terms of like the design of his character. It's fantastic.
It really is.
And yeah, he's just nothing but charisma, and yeah, he's absolutely captivating, like you said. He was taking on, this is a rematch from Wrestle Kingdom. He was putting the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title up on the line against Kushida.
This match starts real fast. As Takahashi's walking to the ring, Kushida climbs to the top rope and did like a swanton on top of
him. I know.
Kushida's leg hits the guardrail.
Yeah. I saw this and I was like, oh my God, how are these guys not both broken, especially Kushida?
I know.
Man, that was crazy.
And then Kushida starts working over Takahashi's left arm.
Middle of the ring, he almost immediately applies the hoverboard lock.
He does it first. Well, he starts working the arm after the top rope move on the outside. But yeah, they get in the ring. He puts on the hoverboard lock. Takahashi reverses. Kicks, does a sunset flip powerbomb over the ring ropes to the outside.
I'd be happy if I never saw another sunset flip powerbomb.
They look like they really hurt.
They look like they can fuck you up.
I know.
Not huge on that.
And then shortly after that, Takahashi hit two time bombs and picked up the win.
Yeah. pretty quickly.
I think they said it was about 3 minutes.
Yeah, he took off Kushida's wrist tape, which had the
watch on it,
a hastily drawn watch on it,
and ate it. Chewed it up.
I was wondering, is he going to spit it out? I was waiting to see what happens with the tape, but apparently he passed it through.
No, he spit it out.
Oh, he did spit it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then shortly after that, Ricochet comes out and issues a challenge.
Yes.
For the junior heavyweight title, which is happening at the next round of shows. I can't wait. This is match of the year.
Fantastic.
A match of the year contender.
That's going to be a fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic.
Wondering if Ricochet maybe needs to polish up his promo skills a little bit.
It did the job.
It felt like he was hungover.
I've seen him do good promos before.
Really?
Yeah. This wasn't bad.
Nah, it was not good.
It just, he was out there to issue a challenge. And
I feel
did
like
that.
He was trying to figure out if he left his lights on or like his, well, with the women here, it's always with their damn hot irons, their flat irons.
Oh, yeah.
They're always worried about the flat irons. Did I leave it on? I don't fucking know. Turn it off, man. Anyways. That's going to be a fantastic.
I know.
Match.
I can't wait.
Cannot wait. That led to our main event. All right.
Wow.
Can I give you like my main beef with this match?
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of great notes here.
Yeah. What's your beef
I
with
love
the match?
Your notes. But in essence, you got Shibata, who is like the stiffest worker in the game right
now.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like he honestly makes Brock Lesnar look like The Miz, dude. Like he fucking works stiff, which is awesome.
I mean, he gave himself bleeding on the brain from a headbutt.
I know, man. That's,
anyways,
that's like going too far. Here's my main problem with this match, because we'll talk nutshell, then we get into details.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I loved
the storytelling.
I'm gonna say I loved, and I'm talking in my mind, it was match of the year contender 90% of it. And we can talk about Okada, the match of the year machine.
Yes,
because right now I'm sitting at three matches. Omega, Suzuki,
and this one
as possible match of the year candidates.
Yeah.
Neither of the last two, I think, lived up to Omega. I kind of like this one the least out of all of
them.
Why
is that?
Because of the finish. This bugged the shit out of me.
Well, tell me.
Here's my thing. In the world of pro wrestling, there are moves that are ridiculously powerful. And they're emphasis on ridiculous, okay?
Yeah.
Hogan's leg drop.
Yes.
Okay. Cena's attitude adjustment. No, even better, Cena's five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dirty deeds now.
But even dirty deeds, hey, you're driving a dude's head into the ground.
Yeah.
We scream Rainmaker at the top of our lungs, partially, I know for me, partially because it's just a wrist lock lariat.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just grabbing the dude and you're doing this. But the fact is, the lore behind
it. They've established it as a devastating finishing move.
Exactly. And so we buy into that.
Yes.
For me, it is kind of difficult to buy into the Rainmaker when it is stacked up against a dude like Shibata.
Yeah.
He dominated
this
match. From the get, when he's literally sitting, he's mounting Okada.
Yeah.
So Okada's story is basically, and this is true of Omega, and it's true of Suzuki, and it's true here of Shibata, Okada has to withstand the other guy. And that's his gimmick.
Yeah.
He withstands the other guy until
he hits the Rainmaker.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's a devastating thing. When we see a guy like Shibata, who works so stiff that you can feel it off the TV.
Yeah.
And then in a span of like 5 minutes, and I know that Okada had been not just being dominated, but he had been giving his own. He had been laying in a little bit here and there.
For the most part, especially the first half of the match, or first third of the match, Shibata had the upper hand easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the first half of the match, at least, every time Okada tried to mount some offense, it seemed like Shibata had an answer for it.
Right, exactly. At one point, this was my spot of the night, Shibata literally ate a Rainmaker.
It didn't fall.
Absorbed it.
As if it made him stronger.
It was great. It was fantastic drama. I loved it.
But I know what you're saying, because you see those elbows or forearms that Shibata's giving, and you hear them, and you shudder because it sounds like they hurt so bad.
Versus the ones that Okada's throwing.
He gave some pretty hearty elbows and forearms later on the match.
I agree, but if you stack them up next to
each other. No, I know. And you see, I know what you're saying, that if you take even just one of Shibata's forearms to the neck versus which you could feel the pain through your computer.
Dude, you can.
Versus a wrist lock lariat,
yeah.
It seems like the forearm to the neck would probably hurt more.
In this case,
it'd be,
dude,
more devastating. I understand.
It felt like this. And I actually went back this morning and watched a little bit of it. Remember when Brock Lesnar came back from the UFC?
Yeah.
And he lost to Cena.
I know.
And he lost, I think, to Triple H.
Yeah.
Okay. I went back and watched that Extreme Rules match because I wanted to see, okay, what was Lesnar doing versus what the finish was? And I was like, okay.
That's one against Cena, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, was this just a cheesy, like, attitude adjustment after getting murdered?
It was on ring steps.
It was on ring steps. Both men were bleeding. Brock had really sold an ass whooping from Cena. It was not that. This, I felt like Okada didn't earn this victory. I feel like I watched this match, and at the very end, I was like, Shibata lost? Like, I totally get that Okada's a champion, and that's his thing, and they're, like, pushing him strong. But in my mind, I was like, man, why did, after all that, Shibata went down to a Rainmaker?
Well, it took four to get him down, finally.
Well, it took him, I think it was, like,
three. In total, throughout the match, I'm saying.
Here, I think here's my kind of my point, too. When you match it up against the Omega match and the Suzuki match, and I know it sounds like I'm shitting on the match, but I'm totally not because I was thrilled for most of it. I just would have taken the last 5 minutes and made it 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, man, the Suzuki match was him withstanding Suzuki, but then I felt like his crawl back to victory was so effective. With Kenny Omega, they were so evenly matched.
Well, I think the nature of Suzuki's domination, it wasn't as physical as Shibata's. It was
a story about
I'm
a leg.
Working your knee, over
knee,
and over.
Yeah,
I'm going to incapacitate that knee so you can't do anything.
Right.
Whereas this, Shibata was physically dominating the match.
Yes.
He was beating the hell out of Okada for the better part of 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of times where I grimace because it felt like,
oh,
the
my
match
God, yeah.
That spot where Okada, I think, is on all fours and Shibata just slaps him. It feels like as hard as
oh,
he can
I remember that.
On the back
yeah,
of the
I know.
Head and you hear the smack.
Oh, it was horrible. I know.
Like, oh, my gosh.
I know. And
Okada just gets up and they keep fighting.
So that's kind of my problem, dude. It's like I totally buy in as a wrestling fan. We buy into the leg drop. We buy in to the attitude adjustment. I mean, the stunner looks like it could actually hurt because you're cranking a dude's neck.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see The Rock sell it. And when people cartoonishly sell it, it's like, okay, well, that's ridiculous. But we buy into the moves that, you know, it's like, okay, well, why is it, you know, the Young Bucks can do these jumping tombstones, whereas the Undertaker, and our sort of tongue-in-cheek response is, well, the Undertaker just knows how to put more stank on.
Yeah.
He knows the proper torque. But that's a joke because it's like, okay, well, when the Undertaker does it, it means something. When the Young Bucks are doing it, they're kind of being meta with wrestling.
Yes, yes.
And we get that. It's entertainment. With Shibata, dude, my only other problem with this is you have a guy who comes from, he did MMA, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why the first half or the first business match played like an MMA match where
right, it
Shibata
did.
Was on full mount and they were kind of feeling each other
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
It was really cool.
The one part of this match beyond besides the finish, which I was like, man, you just beat him with a Hogan. It's like Hogan getting dominated by Brock Lesnar and then beating him with a one leg drop. And I know it took four, and it's as if Brock absorbed the leg drop and made him angrier.
I know.
But the only my only other problem with it is there was that one bit kind of towards the end when Shibata had Okada in a full-on
choke. Yeah.
Choke. And if you know, after having watched a little bit of MMA, if any MMA fighter gets that thing sunk in, you're done.
Yeah.
You are done.
Yeah.
There should be, if you're going to apply an MMA choke, you need a realistic counter to explain why this guy is getting out of that.
Well, also, too, like they've established, and granted, I think for the most part it's been sleeper holds where Shibata will put someone in a sleeper, incapacitate them enough.
So and then give them the PK.
The PK.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they were leading you to believe.
That yeah, that could be. And again, you know, I'm sort of splitting hairs.
And even here, I mean,
I expect
like,
so many.
Like
so
he
much.
Got Okada on that choke and then he suplexed him right in his head.
Oh, my God, I know.
So it wasn't like he just got out and did nothing with it.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, I
you
know.
And I understand your problem with the end of the match. I get that. The sequence leading up to it was fantastic, though. Where Shibata was teasing the Rainmaker, slaps the shit out of
oh,
Okada.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was really
maintains
good.
Maintains wrist control and kicks the shit out of Okada's
chest.
I
wish there was like one or two more kickouts. And here's the other thing. This is also the difference between Shibata versus Suzuki and Omega. Those guys sold the shit out of the Rainmaker. Shibata fell.
He almost looked like he was trying to drop an elbow on Okada for that last Rainmaker. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
He had his arm up like he's going to drop an elbow on him.
Oh, that's interesting. But those guys flipped the fuck back, and Shibata didn't. And maybe that's part of it, is that the Rainmaker can look really weak if you don't sell the shit out of it. You know what I mean?
Because no, I understand case, that, yeah. Standard.
But if I'm to believe you have so much power in this wristlock lariat, Suzuki and Omega, oh my God, they do a backflip and it looks great. And it's like, then you can scream at the top of your lungs, Rainmaker, as opposed to Shibata, who sold it. But man, I was like, I'm supposed to believe that after this brutal fucking match, which was fantastic, we're going to end on that? That was my main beef with it. And I know I just shit on it, and I know it feels like that. I'm totally not, because, man,
I understand
it so many great bits here.
I understand your point. It didn't really bother me because I've bought into the destruction of the Rainmaker in New Japan lore, so it doesn't bother me. I understand your point.
Only go so far.
I understand your point, but I wasn't going to let that kind of ruin what happened previously in this match, because everything leading up to that was spot on, fantastic. Some of the stiffest wrestling I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, for sure, it was great.
Those moments where they were trading forearms and you could hear the smack of flesh on flesh.
Yeah,
and it sounded painful.
Yeah,
They did it a couple times.
Yeah,
when they were sitting across from each other, slapping each other. Ow!
You know how this could have worked for me? Maybe
what
this might have worked is if we got it, because I know he tried it. Is if Okada hit the PK on Shibata.
Yeah.
Maybe if he had turned the tables and had to use his own finish on him and then followed that up with a Rainmaker, mm-hmm. I probably would have bought into it just that last bit. But yeah, there's just some amazing bits here. It's so stiff.
And Okada was working a little heel in this match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking advantage of some breaks, not making them clean.
Well, you have to. Shibata.
I know.
Shibata's not exactly a face.
Let's talk about Okada and why he's a match of the year factory.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at his matches, and nothing he does in terms of...
He always has a flashier opponent.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, he it seems like his approach in the ring is very workmanlike. There's mm-hmm. nothing he does that jumps out at you that he does spectacularly well from an athletic standpoint. His arsenal's not huge. He's athletic, but not extraordinarily so.
He's no like Sonata, yeah.
Yeah. But yet he... It seems to me there's two things that he does maybe better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He takes an ass beating like nobody's mm-hmm, business.
Yeah.
And for a guy of his stature at the top of that company to consistently, especially this year, get his ass beat for 40-plus minutes in these main events is extraordinary.
Oh, yeah, for
Hats
sure.
Hats off.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. He makes it reminds me of hearing stories about Ric Flair in the territory days where it was his job as the world champion to go to individual territories, face their top stars, and make them look great.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd wrestle for an hour,
yeah.
time limit draw, and make that territory's top guy look mm-hmm. like yeah. $1 million.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that's the case with Okada.
Yeah.
Well, he'll go in the ring with anybody mm-hmm. and make them look fantastic because he sells and sells and sells and sells and sells and sells and sells mm-hmm. and is willing to get beat,
yeah.
get beat up.
Well, it's not even that. It is that. But it's also, he has this ability, I'm just going to sort of springboard off what you said, in terms of making these flashier opponents look amazing, but he also makes himself look great in the process. I mean, in that kind of respect, he kind of reminds me superficially of AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Or not superficially, more like, I don't know, in the substance of what he does.
Yes.
Because AJ can take anybody to a great match, and he still looks amazing in the process.
Yes.
Okada does the same thing. He takes somebody like Suzuki or like Shibata or like Omega, and he lets them showcase their best.
Yes.
He absorbs it and then kind of turns it on him.
Yes.
And then eventually hits that ring.
That was the second part I was going to say, is that he is a fantastic in-ring storyteller.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He knows when to take that beat to express disbelief.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Last night he did that when... and it was great. Oh, here you go. Where Okada hits a drop kick on Shibata when mm-hmm. he's down, and Shibata just sits right back up.
Yeah.
And there's a spot where Okada's like kneeling on one knee and just goes, gosh.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not a huge, but it tells so much that he's trying to throw everything he can at Shibata, and it's just not working.
And he's got this really crazy mix of like vulnerability.
And arrogance.
Yeah. And you buy into his arrogance.
Yeah.
That's like That's so big with him. Yes. Is like you buy into, because like I said before, he walks to the ring looking like a walking championship.
And there's
belt.
Cannons around the ring shooting money with his face on it. Okada, but yeah, you
Okada.
But he takes the robe off, takes the belt off, and mm-hmm. he stands across from his opponent. And there's this kind of, he's very calm.
Mm-hmm.
He never looks rattled.
Yeah.
But you got it right. There's a bit of vulnerability and almost relatability to mm-hmm, yeah. just seeing him there facing off against his opponent.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love watching his character work. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was look, dude, this is a fantastic match. I just, when you have these matches that are so high up there on the scale.
Yeah.
I got to try to keep it.
No, I understand
honest,
that.
You know what I mean?
I understand that. But it's still really good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Some of this shit. Let me ask you this though. How stiff is too stiff?
Well, if you're causing bleeding on your brain, that might be too stiff.
Is there a point where you're like, you know what? Anybody, I'm not going to say anybody can work stiff, but it's like, at what point are you not protecting your guy
I understand.
In favor of getting yourself over?
Or getting the match over.
Getting the match
over. Because I'm sure yeah. going into the match, they both agreed that it was going to be a stiff match.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I don't think Shibata would start shooting on the top guy in the company.
Or you just know, hey, I'm doing a Shibata match. So I yeah. have to put my big
But this was next level stiff, even for Shibata.
It really
it
was.
It really was.
And it makes me wonder, it's like, man, you know, this is a performance, and anybody can throw a real punch.
Yeah.
Should you, though? You know, it's like, who says, who just says, yeah, this is going to be my thing. I'm really going to hurt people. I don't know. Like, when does he get the license to do that? Like, why is it he gets to do that shit? Why can't somebody else step up and
like
say?
Like I said, I assume.
Why can't Juice Robinson step up and say, "I'm going to start throwing fists in there"? You know. And hey, guess what? That's just my thing.
I don't know.
But
that moment when he headbutted Okada, the TV direction on that whole sequence was great.
Yeah.
Because there's that shot where it's a close up on Shibata yeah. and he just lifts his head up and you see the blood just start flowing from his
forehead. And then you look at Okada
forehead.
And he's just like doubled over.
I know.
Probably wants to throw up.
Maybe.
That fucking sucks.
I know.
I got Because I you can't see, prefer not to see that and know that he didn't get his subdural
hematoma.
Hematoma.
Yeah. I mean, you see Jack Gallagher do his headbutts and they look great on TV, but you don't hear that thud.
No, you don't. No, that's
that
the thing.
Skull to skull.
That's the thing. It looks better when it's fake. But when it's real, it's terrifying because you know it's real.
Yeah.
Because, like, if a guy just headbutts a guy, all that happens is you just see the heads go together and you go, oh, like that.
Yeah.
When it's like Jack Gallagher, you see his hair flare up
and
his head's going right here.
Right here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like a pillow right here.
Well,
compared to this shit.
Yeah, compared to the skull, yeah.
Man.
I wonder how bruised their collarbones are after all those elbows.
Yeah.
There was probably a lot of forearms and elbows.
Probably very.
There's that sequence where Shibata had Okada in the corner and Okada was down.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear that Shibata dropped at least a dozen, if not a dozen and a half forearms in the span of like 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was doing it here and on his chest and just mm-hmm. going back and forth so fast.
Yeah.
It was insane. The crowd was so behind Shibata.
Oh, yeah, big time, yeah.
Insanely hot for Shibata.
Yeah, yeah. So, he's a stud, dude.
So after the match, Okada is asking for the mic after his win. And Bad Luck Fale comes in, lays him out.
Gives him a bad luck fall.
Yeah.
I love that. That's what he calls us.
The razor's edge, I know.
The razor's edge is the bad luck fall.
And then Fale grabs the mic and says something like, "You wanted a fucking fight?"
He said, "You got a fucking fight!"
Yeah. And then holds the championship belt up.
Yeah, he's not winning that thing.
No.
He looks... I'm sorry, dude. He just looks kind of like a slob. I'm sorry. Look, man. You got Okada, who looks like a walking championship belt. You have Shibata, who literally has a t-shirt, which I want to get, just as the wrestler.
I know.
And it's perfect. He is so perfectly packaged. You have the ticking time bomb, who looks like an anime character come to life. And like, but he still looks kind of animated, too. It looks crazy. And then you got this guy, Bad Luck Fale, with his faded, like, get some new gear. You're gonna fight for the title? Get some new gear. Your shit's all faded. It looks like you left out in the sun. It's all baggy. I'm sorry. Look, hey, I got a clown when I can clown.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You don't agree? You don't look like a slob to you? No?
I don't know. I didn't think about it that way.
Looks a little sloven.
I just keep wondering if because we all expect Omega and Okada to have a rematch at some point.
You know what? I'll be honest with you.
They seem like, and maybe again, I was reading too much into it. They were teasing some tension between Fale and Omega during the tag match. So I just don't know if this is, in my mind, this is some plan that's being hatched by Omega to soften up Okada so when they have their rematch, he can get the upper hand.
That could be. I don't know, man. Like, given the level of talent we've seen since Wrestle Kingdom, like Suzuki, Shibata, it wouldn't surprise me if they just, I mean, I made this case before about them making waves here in the U.S. They don't need that title on Omega.
No, they don't.
And he's, I'm not going to say he's as good as gone come January, but I kind of feel like he's as good as gone come January. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they decided to sort of move past that already. You know, they got their six-star match at Wrestle Kingdom. He's doing good work that I don't think would be enhanced by having the title. So I don't know. It wouldn't. I mean, they're making a really big deal about this G1 thing in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. They're making a huge deal about it. So on one hand, it wouldn't surprise me if he won there. On the other hand, it wouldn't surprise me if he never won it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I mean, regardless if he wins the belt or not, I think we... The expectation is there to have another match with Okada at some point.
You would think so, you know? You would think so. But man, at this point, I'm feeling like it would be a shame if Okada lost that belt. Because I love him as champion, man.
They have been putting him through the ringer so far this year.
I kind of wouldn't mind to see...
An hour against Omega, and then Suzuki beat him up for 45 minutes, and then Shibata beat him up for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, all these major shows, all this title defenses, he's going... He's getting beat up for 40 plus minutes.
Yeah.
I just, honestly, you know, he's not even 30 yet,
I know.
Okada. How long can he sustain that level of performance before it starts catching up with him? That's my worry, because I want to see him wrestle for years and years and years, because he's fun to watch. He's that good as a performer.
Yeah. I kind of wouldn't mind to see them move on straight. Not, maybe they've done this, maybe they did this before Wrestle Kingdom. I know when Shinsuke was there, Chaos was a bit different. They had a bit of a different dynamic.
Yeah.
But I kind of wouldn't mind to see Chaos and LIJ, Naito versus Okada, have that be the big...
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure how anxious, like, Naito would be. I have no clue. Like, if they feel like he's probably going to be sticking around, and Okada's probably going to be sticking around, and Omega is probably less likely to stick around...
Yeah.
That if that's the direction they want to go, if they do want to make a big deal out of Okada losing that title, because it feels like he's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Whoever beats him for that title, especially after this year, if it happens this year, that's going to be a major deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
After all he's gone through.
Right,
even just
right.
His first three title defenses this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I kind of wouldn't mind to see, because I'm, you know, we love LIJ. We love Naito. You know, and there's... If he wins that title, because I think he's had it before, right?
He beat Okada for it at the same show last year.
Oh, okay.
Only to lose it to him or drop it back to Okada, I think, at Dominion.
Okay, cool. Right on.
So he had it for a couple months, maybe.
All right. So given how popular he is now, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me to see it.
But yeah, I don't know either.
We have no idea. We don't know.
No. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know
anything. Fun show. Great show. Great main event.
Yeah, that was all. It was great. It was good stuff. I would give that main event... Out of 7 stars, I'd give it 6.5.
Okay.
What would you give it?
Yeah.
Really? Same?
Yeah.
Even though I could file 6, and you could do 6.5. You have to give it more than I did.
No, I don't. I can agree with you.
Really?
Yeah. Why can't we agree?
Because I thought it was like a little less than you did.
Well, I think 6.5 out of 7, that's still a really good rating.
You're going to give it all 7 stars?
No.
Let's bump it up to 8 stars.
Okay, then I'll give it 7 stars.
Anyways, let us know what you guys thought about Sakura Genesis in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.